an old message in a new way. John chapter 2, verse 1. Should start out in the third day. Are y'all seeing that? Is that where y'all are at? Starting while y'all turning over to John chapter 2 and verse 1. There's a lot of parties going on recently. Graduation parties. Celebrations. And there'll be a lot of people get married, right? Anybody in here getting married? Nobody over there getting married? All right. But there's some celebrations going on. And this is what, you know, I started seeing this and God showed me something in it that Jesus is the life of the party. If you don't get him in the party, then you ain't really got any life in your party. Amen. But let's read this. I want y'all to read John chapter 2 with me. The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw now out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servant which drew out the water, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifest forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Amen. I want to preach this a little bit different. It's exciting to see it, but I see it from Mary's point of view. I'm looking at it a little bit different. Preach this, it's an amazing thing. But Mary was sitting there in the congregation at the party, and she's sitting there, and all of a sudden she realized something. Y'all are trying to have a life party without the one who gives life. Listen, I don't know your situation, but I am somebody that's had experience with Jesus. I've had an encounter with Jesus. He saved my soul. He changed my life. He married up with me. Amen. So I know what Jesus can do in a life. I know what Jesus can do when he's not in a life. When you don't invite him to the party. Amen. You might invite him to the party, but you don't want him to take any part in it. Have we asked Jesus to be a part of our lives, but we won't let him have any role in our lives? I hope y'all can see what I see. I see Mary sitting there, and maybe in a way we see it, I see a big tent. Tents and tents and tents, and the sides rolled up, and people are eating and drinking and having the time of their life. And Jesus is just standing there, and she's watching all these people, and she looks at the people, and she's looking at Jesus, and the people are running out of stuff, and they think they're doing all right, but they don't know that the best thing that's ever happened is standing there. I mean, they're just having a life party, and the real life is just invited. I'm kind of preaching this as twofold. Some of you are saved in here. That means you invited Jesus in, but you don't let him be Lord. There's some other ones in here that you've got a profession of letting Jesus in. You've never let him save you. And you claim him, but you don't let him. Amen. And he's just standing outside your tent. And you're drinking and you're eating and you're doing it your way. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, is watching this and she's going, I know him. He wrecked my marriage ceremony. He wrecked my party. Listen, Joseph was off. He was writing down all the things to get ready for the celebration of him and Mary getting married. And all of a sudden, God come and whispered into Mary's ear, hey, I'm going to give you Jesus to put in your womb prior to your marriage. Hey, God, you know what? It ain't good being pregnant before you get married with somebody else's baby, even if it's God's. Even if it's God's baby, it ain't cool with everybody else. It ain't cool to be 9 months pregnant and riding up to Bethlehem on the back of a donkey either. Oh, God wrecked my life. He wrecked my plans. He took everything that didn't make sense and he made his own sense. I wanted to get married. I had a nice Nazareth picked out. My family was happy for me. I'd met a great guy. He was at a king's lineage. Oh, never mind. He was a real Prince Charming. And God came along and said, no, I want to do something that doesn't make sense in your life. I want to give you something great, but when it comes, it's going to make everybody doubt who you are. When it comes, everybody that used to love you is going to hate you, and the people that used to hate you is probably going to now love you. I don't know about this, Lord. I don't know if I'm qualified. I'm only 14 or 15 years old. God, I don't know if I'm qualified to carry this Jesus right now. Sure, you're qualified. All you got to do is let me in. Sure, you're qualified. All you got to do is, Mary, just let me in. But it'll be hard. Sure, it'll be hard. But you're going to have a miracle in you. You're going to birth a miracle. Listen, and all of a sudden, even in that situation, she didn't have the marriage party. She didn't have the big celebration. But guess what? Her husband married her anyway. God didn't mess it up. He messed it up for his own glory, and he made it better. Never mind. Joseph said, hey, listen. At first, I wanted to do away with you. At first, I wanted to get rid of you. Has anybody ever felt like somebody was trying to get rid of you? Oh, God, look what you done. You done got rid of me. Amen. All the people that I wanted in my life are now leaving. And it looks like the most important person, Joseph's leaving too. I'm not going to put her to death, but I am going to put her out. But then guess what? He was a God man. He's laying there one night, and all of a sudden God says, hey, Joseph, it's okay if you marry Mary. That baby, that's me. I'm going to preach hard. I'm going to preach to you anyway, so you might as well enjoy it. Amen? I'm being honest with you. Don't sit here like a lump on a log trying to figure out why you're here. You're here because God wanted you here. I don't know your circumstance, but if you sit here and say, oh, it's like taking a bath and putting the same clothes back on. You're going to get a shower today. How you go out of here, it's on you. Amen? Because I'm going to tell you right now, she was sitting there looking at a party and she was going, these people don't even know it, but God's here and they're not letting him be God. I let him be God and he wrecked me, but he made me. Y'all shouldn't have invited me to the party. You surely shouldn't have invited him to the party because you got God here. Some of you are wondering why your life's not going great. Is because you know what? You're trying to take God and put him upon your life or a part of your life instead of letting him be your life. You've got just enough Jesus not to get the real thing. You've got the antidote. Amen. You got the serum that keeps you from getting the real thing. Because if you get the real thing, you won't even be able to control yourself. You'll get out of control. You'll do stuff like wreck a party. The bride's having a great time. The groom's having a good time. Oh, this thing's about to go off. And Mary's like, I can't help myself. She walks over to Jesus and says, do something! I can't breathe! Because his people don't even know how to have marriage without you. Will you do something? She's like, hey, it's not my time yet. What are you doing? I'm your mama. I know what time it is. Hey, man, some of you mamas need to say amen every once in a while. Dads can be oblivious, but mothers know what time it is. It's time to get activated, Jesus. It only takes one person to activate Jesus. People are always asking me, how does this ministry work? How does youth ministry work? How does our adult Sunday school? How does this work? One person gets activated. One person says, Jesus, I need you to do something. We're sitting here trying to figure it out. Well, if we systematically do this, if we get better at this, we get better material, we get better. No. Go to Jesus and say, shake some stuff up. Make some dead things come to life. And help me preach. Make some dead things come to life. Every ministry needs some dead things to come to life. That's all they need. Mary's sitting there like, I can't stand this. I'm not going to let this go off. I'm not going to let it happen. I'm not going to just sit here. Some of y'all need to make up your mind. I'm not just going to sit here and have my own party and run out of the good. So I started seeing people at the party, the governor. The governor's trying to run things without Jesus. Some of y'all have got some authority. Maybe in your home, maybe on the job, maybe in the church. But you're trying to run things without Jesus. He's sitting up there drinking the wine going, man, this is pretty good. No, not even good. That's not even close to good. You don't even know how good God is because you want to be in charge. You want to be the one on the throne. You want to be the one making the shot caller. God, Mary's like, you don't even know it. There's a shot caller here, and it's him. If you let him govern you, you can govern. Oh, never mind. Hey, one taste, and the governor went, hey, this is the good. Hey, man. Who brought out the good last? Why? Who would dare come to? I wish somebody help me. Why in the world would you let somebody bring the best last? You know what God says? That's the way I do it every time. That's the way I do it every time. I bring the best for last. I save the best for last. I know y'all don't know what I mean. See, you got born, but that was the first you. When you get Jesus in you. When you go from dead to alive, the best is the last. Somebody say, oh man, you're getting so much older. We may crack about, oh, you're older now, you're old. Listen, praise God. See, I am older now, but I'm going somewhere. Heaven's getting sweeter to me by the moment. My Christianity is better. I was more excited. I could run harder. I could shout more. I could jump some pews. I could walk some rails. But praise God, I'll tell you what I didn't have. I didn't have that sweet peace knowing that, hey, guess what? My finish line's coming, and praise God, I'm looking forward to it. I've got some good people in glory. I've got some good friends in heaven. I've got a mama in heaven. Praise God, I know where my home is. Praise God, I'm doing well, man. I'm doing fine, praise God. I'm doing better. I don't care if you can shout. I don't care if you can't run. Praise God, every once in a while, you need to lift your hand up and say, thank God. You can outrun me, but you can't outworship me. You can outshout me, but praise God, this tear running down my eye, praise God, that's because I know who I belong to. That governor, he was drinking something and thought it was good until he tasted the real thing. Hey, man. He's like, man. He said, somebody needs to know. Listen, some of y'all that are working at a job, working in the community, working in the church, get Jesus in it. And you'll have the real, you'll be able to say, this is really good. I'm not a good preacher. Scott is not a good singer. We're not a good choir. We're not a good church. We just love Jesus here. I mean, we just got the real thing. We might say it messed up. We might sing it messed up. We might teach it messed up. But baby, we got the real thing. We ain't talking about something we don't know about. We got a relationship going on with God. Here, take a drink. And you'll find out he's pretty good. Jesus looking around. Mary's looking around going, wait a minute. There's some people trying to serve here, and they ain't serving with Jesus. They're good servants, best servants I've ever read about. They're great servants. But some of y'all are in this church, and you're trying to serve God without God. You're trying to serve Jesus without Jesus. You're trying to do stuff without Him. You're trying to do ministry without Him, church without Him, youth without Him, pastor without Him, preach without Him, worship, sing without Him. Praise God, it's impossible. There's no power in it without Him. The servants are running around. God, I'm going to slow it down. The servants are running around like chickens with their heads cut off, doing stuff. Have you ever done a bunch of stuff for God and you were miserable?
I teach Sunday school. I read the Bible. I prayed. I went. I served. I helped them old knucklehead Christians up there. I fed them. Oh, come on. Y'all don't say it like that, but you mean it. I fed them. I mean, I chicken and dumplings, chicken and dumplings, chicken and dumplings. Every time, chicken and dumplings. I put it out there and praise God. They got it, and I love it, man. Huh? He was miserable. You know why? Because them chicken and dumplings weren't God's chicken and dumplings. Hey, man. If you make, hey, if you get Christ in them, guess what? It changes how you serve. It changes how you think. Listen, they were sitting there serving, just walking back and forth, and nothing. They were running out. They were running out quick. If you serve without Jesus, you'll run out pretty quick. Amen? You'll say stuff like this. I'm burnt out. I'm burnt out. You know why you're burnt out? Because you're the fuel to your own fire. That's why you burn out. That's why preachers burn out. That's why I say, are you ever going to burn out? You're doing too much. I ain't going to burn out because I've got a Holy Ghost fire inside of me. I've tried to beat it down. I've tried to keep it under control. I've tried to say, and you know what? Every time I do, every time I go, every time I say, God says, I ain't going to run out because I ain't trying to run out of me. I'm going to run out of here. I got a reservoir. I've got a reservoir of spirit. Just keeps on turning up the wick. Keep on going, son. Amen? Listen. Praise God. Them servants, they were trying to serve, and they were running out. And they were like, oh, God, this is miserable. I hate serving without Jesus. And Jesus got involved, and he said, listen. Take those nasty water pots that everybody's washing in, because they're the biggest thing we got here. Take them down and fill them up with water. The servants didn't even question. Amen? It's amazing when Jesus gets in it, you just do it. It don't even make no sense. They're taking old washing pots that people's washed their hands and feet in, and they're dragging them down to the shoreline. And come on. They're looking at each other. This is so stupid. But I'm stupid for Jesus. Amen? I mean, this is crazy. They're thirsty, and we're filling up the wash pots with water. This Jesus is crazy. He's a crazy God. But don't it feel better when you're serving God, even if it's crazy, than serving without Him, even if it seems good? At least, we had wine when it was just us. Now we're filling it up with water. But dude, they didn't question. They're just filling it up. And they filled it up to the... Golly, don't do stuff halfway. Hey, if you go to this church, you serve at this church, don't do it halfway. Fill it up to running over. It ain't a glass half empty. It's half full. It's running over. Pour it all the way up to the top. Give everything you got. The only thing you're going to regret at the end of this life is you didn't do enough. Go fill it up. He goes, all right, now scoop in and take that to the governor. Crazy, more crazy. This is, hey, it was crazy when it was just us. But now you want me to be crazy with other people. You want a drink? Right? I mean, could you see them holding the cup? They're like, this is doggone toe jam. Finger mess. Sandwiches drink here. This is awful. They go up to the governor, and the governor's the man in charge. Hey, brother. Jesus said to do it. Jesus told us to. Hey man, this will get you out of more trouble than you ever been in. Jesus told me to do it. And he's taking it and he's bringing it to his lips, and the servants are going, let's slow it down, break it down a little bit better. Have you ever felt like what you did wasn't good enough? Have you ever thought what you were delivering would never help anybody? What you were bringing from broken vessels, dirty vessels, and the contents of your life were not worth anything. But if Jesus gets in it. See, I've preached so many messages and I've said so many things that sometimes I'm like, God, that's not going to help anybody. Here, Chris, just drink that. What Jesus told me to do is probably not very good. I'm not good at it. I went and filled it up where he told me to fill it up, and he told me to give it to you. I know it don't. It's probably terrible. But when you're drinking, you go, oh my, this is the best thing I've ever drank. He got so excited. He's like, where's the bridegroom at? I've never tasted anything like that before. Listen, servants, if you want God to use you, be obedient to Him and get Him in the mix. It's not your talent. It's not your ability. It's what God puts in it. It's the transformation from the place you filled up at to the place where you poured it out at. It's so good. Where did it transform? Where did it change? Where did it transform at? Was it, they had to look at it and say it's still water. I think it transformed when they had the obedience to hand it to somebody else. Amen? Can you see it? They're probably still looking, oh God, it's still water. But when he got it to his mouth, it became wine, which grape juice has DNA, water doesn't. It has living organism in it. So all of a sudden, he took something that wasn't living and gave it to somebody, and now it's living, and he's taking it. And the first thing he says is, the vine must have been here because we've got fresh juice. Y'all get that later. Jesus is the vine. Amen? He's the one who created all vines. He created everything. Then Mary was sitting there for a while, and she looks over, and she sees a bride. And she's like, look at that bride. She's so beautiful. And she's so excited to be here. But something's missing. She don't realize that Jesus is here. And she hasn't invited him to be a part. See, Jesus picked the first bride. Right out of a rib. The rib section. God's good at making wives. Amen? Can I help some of you wives out today? Look at this. Look, I'll preach it both ways. Some of you that are already wives and you're already saved, can I help you? All right, listen, praise God, you're good enough. Amen? And guess what? God, He made you a rib. You know what one of your biggest jobs is as a wife is? To be a protector of vital organs. Amen? That's what ribs do. They guard the lungs and the heart and all the vital organs. And they put a cage around that where you don't die. Amen? Listen, be a helpmate to your husband. Be a helpmate to your marriage. Ooh. Amen? And be happy and excited about your marriage again. We could have an altar call now. What are you saying, brother? What would you ask me to ask God if we had an altar call right now? I'd say, come up here and say, God, help me to be a good rib again. Amen? I'm sorry. But what if you haven't got a husband right now? Praise God. Nobody ever preaches this. Some of you are sitting right here right now. You're looking at other women. You're going, how'd she get a husband? Old rascal. I know her. How'd she get a husband? Huh? You forgot. Listen, God gives you the person in His time. There's nothing wrong with being single. Serving God single means you can singly serve God. What does that mean, brother? That means you don't have anything that pulls you away from the service of God. You can do more for God than a married person can. Because a married person's got to worry about the other person and then God. Amen? While you're single, you can minister. But I have a feeling if you minister right to God and God's stuff, then God will let you meet the right guy who's also probably ministering to God. And you'll probably meet in God's field and all of a sudden look over and say, you know what? I kind of like Boaz. Amen? I never thought I would meet my man in God's field. Well, I hate to tell you, you don't want to meet your man anywhere else but God's. Oh, never mind. God. She's sitting there going, oh, God. He makes marriages. He's the one who ordained marriages. Listen, the church is the bride, and Jesus is the bridegroom. Praise God. If Jesus gets in this, He'll make her a better bride. If you want to be a better bride, say, Jesus, come on in and help me be a good wife and be a good mother and be a good friend and be a good person. Praise God. And He will. And then there's one dude left, and she's looking at him. She goes, oh, gosh. There he is, that bridegroom. There's that man. He's trying to be a husband. He's trying to get married without Jesus getting involved. He looks over there and he's like, oh, he'll wreck you, son. He'll wreck you. Why? Why will he wreck you?
Because guess what? He is the bridegroom. He made a bride, but he is the bridegroom. He knows exactly what that is. See, a bridegroom is a coverer and a protector and a provider. And listen, he says, if you get under my umbrella, I'll protect you. Listen, he says, hey, man, if you get up under me, then your wife will get up under you and your kids will get up under them. And I'm not talking about being, submissive. I'm talking about a partnership that's ordained by God, that's been written by God, who says, if this all lines up, it'll be good. And the husband was sitting there going, I'm trying to be a husband without Jesus in the mix. And I can't even provide for the party. You hearing what I'm saying? I can't even make the party. No. We can't even make the party work. How am I going to make life work? Some of y'all had graduation parties. Some of y'all are having marriage parties. Some of y'all might just have a big party for summer. And let me say this. Some of y'all are just having a party with your own life. And guess what? Jesus wants to get in the mix of it. Because your little party is terrible without him. Look outside the tent and say, hey, Jesus, come in and do some stuff. Matter of fact, say it like this. Hey, Jesus, come in and change dead stuff to living stuff. Amen? Let's all stand as I come get a song. Some of y'all need to run to the altar this morning.